Presidential spokesman Elmer Fudd says, "Sorry." Well, what do you know?
Live from Lubbock, Texas to Jacksonville, Florida, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, ukulele superstar Jake Shimabukuro, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's throwing the ball pretty well and is ready to start against the Eagles, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Just, the trick is to you pull it back right past your ear, but not into your ear, because that makes for a wobble when you get the... I'm just saying, in case I do start. Well, let's see. In the news, the president apologizes. 60 Minutes apologizes. The wife has to be next. Okay, I'll take that out because I'll have to apologize. But that there feller Ted Cruz sure enough ain't sorry for nothing. You know? It only confirms my long-held belief that it's always the wrong people who apologize. You know? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry for that. The health exchanges are confusing, though, because what are you supposed to exchange your health for? That's what they didn't explain. Newly discovered knee ligament hurts already. I'm thinking of getting an artificial newly discovered knee ligament. When the crack-smoking mayor of Toronto goes to AA meetings, he says, "Hi, I'm Rob Ford, and I'm a mayor." The mayor isn't getting the dramatic weight loss he had hoped for on crack. Personally, though, I think it's courageous a politician finally admits he's on crack, you know? We've waited for this. Now, Rand Paul, if he comes around, it'll be a good thing. Speaking of whom, Senator Rand Paul has issued a statement on the many charges of plagiarism, which reads as follows: "When in the course of human events..." He's one of those guys in high school who copied your paper and didn't even bother to change anything, you know. Even your name. He left your name probably on it. Okay. Google has all our data in a barge in San Francisco Harbor, where NSA seals leap like porpoises. I'm very proud of this image, and it took me a long time to create that image, so I hope you appreciate it. Miami Dolphins linebacker Jonathan Martin intellectually bullied teammate Richie Incognito with references way over his head. So there's that. Donuts are the Alamo of trans fats. No, don't think about it. Think about the donut you just had with that implication. They will have to pry the trans fats out of my cold, chubby hands, is all I can say. The NSA is offering unlimited data plans. Look into that. Well, think about it. And they never drop a call. That's the beauty of the NSA plan. It's friends and family. Obamacare has been renamed Blue Cross Blue in the Face. I thought that deserved something better than... India launches its first non-functional hammered brass pitcher to Mars, first spacecraft. India, you know, non-functional hammered brass pitcher. That's their first craft. Okay, I was thinking about it, and then I thought, nah, I don't know. Christie rolls to victory in New Jersey. Got his eye on the Taft bathtub in the White House. Speaking more than one language allows for multilingual dementia, so that's something to look forward to. That's when you talk to yourself and you have no idea what you just said. There bin ich. You know, I don't even understand what that said. Okay, not so sure the Olympic torch is a good idea in the space station. Strange, baffling object in asteroid belt. Got nothing on what you see around here. Meh, meh, meh. Mayans now thought to have 3D printed Chichen Itza. These are pretty abstract. I understand some of that, but it looks like it could have been 3D printed, though, if you've ever been down there to Chichen Itza. Okay, anyhow. On its first day of tweeting, Twitter raises a disappointing $140. Buck a character. A woman charged with harassing Alec Baldwin gets get-out-of-jail-free card. Okay, and here in Wisconsin, the Maquanago High School Indians are toying with the new name, the Hebrews. Possibly get more underwriting, you know. I'm thinking. Packers will start the fantasy Aaron Rodgers against the Eagles. Some guy in his living room in Sheboygan is going to call him. And the Packers' only hope is that Seneca hasn't taken a lot of ribbing in the locker room. Fine, good way to end, but that's all the news. That is it. Then we got to end somewhere. Okay. Hey, Seneca. Seneca, what was that, in a Disney movie or something? Okay. Anyhow, I'm fine. How are you? Pretty good? Yeah. Don't let that stop you. You know, those are just things that occurred to me. They probably wouldn't occur to you. Sarah Nix, ladies and gentlemen, on my left here. Can't blame her for the monologue. No siree. Jake Shimabukuro is called the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele. In fact, they're calling Jimi Hendrix the Jake Shimabukuro of the guitar these days. That's so far as coming. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome, please, Jake Shimabukuro. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
Good to meet you. Nice to meet you. So, Jake, the ukulele does not get enough respect. Agree or disagree? I mean, historically. I mean, recently, anyhow. Recently.
But that's what I love about it. You know, you don't have to be a musician to play this instrument. You know, it's probably one of the easiest
strings. It helps,
though,
doesn't it?
And that's the thing. It really does. I mean, it's
what does it play itself? I could just pick that up and it would play itself. It's like
some do actually.
Yeah. Because in this we think of Arthur Godfrey. You know, if you're old enough, you think of Arthur Godfrey used to play that, and not really well.
He was a fantastic player, actually. What? Yeah, he was a great, great ukulele player, I thought.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So I'm wrong again. Big deal. So when haven't I been wrong? And then, but in this country, like in the 20s, for some, mm-hmm. everyone was playing ukuleles, and they were wearing raccoon coats and playing ukuleles for some reason. I have no idea how that started. It might have been Godfrey, but I don't think he's that old. You remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
And then everyone must have had a ukulele at that point, because, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know. In the 20s, it was very popular, and then again in the 50s.
Yeah, it came back in the 50s.
Yeah, it came back in the 50s, and then again recently, I guess, you know, with the internet.
Yeah.
The internet, you know, it's become very popular again.
Yeah. Now in Hawaii, where you're from, is it still the most popular thing to play or a popular instrument?
Well, you know, I mean, from what I understand here on the, you know, in the continental U.S., everyone in elementary school, you learn how to play the recorder.
Yeah.
Right? So in Hawaii, we all learn how to play the ukulele.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think in the fourth and fifth grade, we have like two or three weeks of ukulele lessons.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Is that how you started?
Yeah. Well, my mom played, you know, when I was a kid. So when I was about 4 years old, she sat me down, taught me a few chords, and I just fell in love with it.
You did?
Yeah, I mean, she literally just taught me 3 chords, and that's all I played for 10 years. And I joke around with people, and I tell them that with 3 chords, you can play like 300
anything.
Traditional Hawaiian tunes, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's probably all it takes is 3 chords. Like, all rock and roll is just 2 chords, I think.
Yeah.
Add another third for jazz or something, and you're pretty cool with that sort of stuff. Plus, you're trans-genre.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yes. I thought you were going somewhere else.
No. I mean, in the most respectful possible way. I mean you're not nailed to any one genre.
Yeah, I mean, I love all styles of music. I started out playing traditional Hawaiian music, of course, being in Hawaii. But then later on, you know, I discovered different styles of music and just kind of, you know, fell in love with the, you know, just the challenges that come with trying to interpret different styles of music on four strings.
Yeah. And has that brought you in touch with ukulele players worldwide now? Because they must like, for example, in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, there must be people who have been clandestinely playing the ukulele all these years and suddenly feel vindicated by you.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I mean, two years ago, I actually did a concert in Russia, and man, there were people that brought their ukuleles to the concert. And I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Well, mandolin used to be the thing, but I think at a certain point, the ukulele caught on with it.
Yeah, I think it's... It's definitely, well, you know, they have, I can't remember the name of the traditional instrument that they have. The balalaika, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, balalaika.
It has three strings, actually.
Yeah,
and they
even
do
better.
Incredible things with that instrument. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's even better for me, three strings. I mean, if we go down to two or one, I could possibly do something.
Yeah.
What are you going to play for us here?
Well, I'd like to play a song, you know, the song that really started it all for me, and I was talking about the internet, and about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a YouTube video that went viral of me playing a George Harrison piece, so I want to share that with everyone. This is While My Guitar, or
excellent.
While My Ukulele Can Be Used, I guess. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. That's the first standing ovation I've ever gotten in all these years of doing the show. And I'm humbled, and actually tears came to my eyes. But I think it was you, not so much the moment. Very nice. I think George Harrison would have approved of that.
Oh, thank you.
And he played a good ukulele, actually.
Yeah,
he played a good ukulele.
Yeah, George Harrison was a big fan of the ukulele.
Yeah.
So I always felt, you know, I had that kind of had a connection with him in that way, because a lot of his music, I think they translate well on the instrument. You know, like
yeah, pure
or
uke.
Like a something.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to ask him if he, you know, if he got a lot of his ideas for songs, you know, yeah, from the ukulele. But
maybe he wrote them on the ukulele.
Yeah, I mean, quite possibly, because yeah, a lot of the movements, you know, the inner voices and all that work really well on the ukulele. You know, yeah, it's just I don't know, there's something about it that yeah, just translates so well on this.
And instrument. It's a lot more portable than the sitar.
It is, yeah. It is.
Although he was good on that too, I guess. It's hard for me to say, I guess. Well, that's what you are like traveling every day for the next 3 years. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You're not even here now, technically. You know, you're gonna be at the Fitzgerald in St. Paul next. Is that right?
Yeah, tonight actually.
And then you're going to Lincoln, Nebraska. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The Bourbon Theater, and look, that sounds promising. And then you're going to Peoria, and then you're going to Iowa City, Des Moines, Kansas City. You're going to Wilmington, North Carolina. I mean, you're just going, you're not stopping.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel very fortunate because, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, when I played the ukulele, I mean, I knew it was my passion and I knew that I would always play, but I had no idea that I'd be doing what I'm doing today, you know, because back then there weren't a lot of touring ukulele players, you know.
No. So. And still, you're probably the only one.
Yeah,
really.
Well, and you know, and I joke around, but I tell people one of the best things about being a touring ukulele player is that audiences all over the world have such low expectations.
Not anymore, they don't. Now they gotta. I mean, some other guy comes along now and tries to do it. They're gonna compare him to you, and that's it for him. He's out of the running. Is that I mean, you're good with the touring. I mean, you're a young man, you're strong, but that doesn't get.
Yeah, I mean, I do love it. You know, it's because of course I'd be happy just playing, you know, anywhere. It doesn't matter. But one of the nice things about being able to tour and to play for you know, these, like last night we were at the Capitol Theater, and that's a beautiful, beautiful theater. You know, got a great sound system, and to me that's the. You know, the rush when you get to play in a venue like that, you know, and you hear your instrument. I mean, just because I don't have speakers like that at my house, you know, I don't have a sound system like
not
that.
Not anymore. So, you've been gone so long.
so to be able to play, you know, in a beautiful venue like that, you know, with and to play for an audience that appreciates music and are just as passionate about music, you know, as the performers on stage. I mean, it's a true honor, and so for me that's what I love. Yeah. I love being able to do that, have those opportunities.
And next year it goes world, right? This is like a world tour coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we
get out of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, you know, this year alone, you know, we were fortunate enough, we did an Asia tour, we toured across Australia, Canada,
wow,
U.S. I know next year we're talking about doing some things overseas in Europe, and so it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Can you do one more?
Sure, I'd love to do one more. Well, let's see. How about a traditional Hawaiian piece? Yeah, because I am from Hawaii, and on my latest album, it was really cool because I got to work with one of my heroes, his great Alan Parsons, you know, and he produced my latest record called Grand Ukulele, and when we were in the studio, you know, we took a little break, and you know, we were playing all this stuff in the studio. Then we took a little break, and I just sat down and I started playing this traditional Hawaiian piece. And he came over, he rushed over, he was like, "What is that?" You know, and I said, "Oh, it's a traditional Hawaiian song." He was like, "We need to record that." And so, and it's one of my favorites, and it was inspired by a lovely place on the Big Island known as Akaka Falls Park. And this is a piece entitled Akaka Falls.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public
Jake
Radio.
Jake Shimabukuro, ladies and gentlemen.
Public Radio International.
Thank you.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on, sit down. Sit down, please. Okay.
I think you've gotten a couple of standing ovations over the years.
Yeah, I know, but they were trying to leave.
Oh.
Grand Ukulele is one of the CDs. And look for that one for Jake. And that's, I think that's the one that's current. There's also, by the way, there's a show on him on PBS, which is called Life on Four Strings. And that was on this spring, but I'm sure it's still available and still playing, so... Check all of that, Jake. Shimabukuro. Fantastic, huh? I can't even think now. It kind of ruined me emotionally because I had these emotions. I just didn't know I had. What is this? I can't do this anymore now. Okay, but life goes on, you know. All right, move on the audience here.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yep.
You look different when you're sitting down. Okay. All right, then. All right. Now, we got our Packer fans over here. I want you got a reading on here because I don't know. I'm a little upset about this whole thing. How are you dealing with it?
I'm surviving.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what do you? Are they doing the right thing, or should they have gone out and, you know, gotten...
No, I like that they stayed in-house and are going to do what they need to do.
Yeah. Right. Agree or...
Pretty much. I think the people in charge are doing a pretty good job with them anyway, so I just think it was kind of strange that on Sunday that, or Saturday there was a thing in the paper about how they didn't have to worry about the depth at quarterback, and then the next day he gets hurt.
Yeah. So always a mistake to run those articles about like depth at talk show host or something, you know, and then suddenly you're gone. All right, thank you, gentlemen. Let's see now. Have you ever run a marathon? No. We've got a half marathon coming up, though. I could run maybe a tenth marathon. 20th. They have a 10th, 20th marathon? John Brenner from St. Louis?
Yes.
Stand up here, John Brenner from St. Louis. Weigh in on this. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Michael. How are you?
Is this marathon tomorrow?
I am.
Yeah. Were you the guy who said this is a rite of passage or something?
No.
It was a guy, some guy said he was running the marathon, half marathon, and coming to this show, and it was a rite of passage. Huh?
That was me.
Oh, okay. Just want to see what that guy would look like. Well, I'll talk to you later. Okay. Let's see now. Do you run full marathons as well?
I do. Yeah. Yep. Tomorrow will be number 43, hopefully.
Number 43? But it's just a half. Can you count them if it's a half?
Well, if it's a half, you have to do it twice.
Or you say 42 and a half marathons. Were some of those half marathons as well?
No, those were all fulls.
This is your first half marathon?
No, I'm running the full tomorrow.
I didn't know there was a full marathon. Can you run a full marathon? Yeah. I'm a little shocked to think, well, why do they call it a half marathon? That's kind of...
Well, they have both, a full or a half.
Well, you, Mr. Rite of Passage, are running a half, right?
Right. The full was, the registration was full, so I'm running a half.
The full was full.
So the full was full? Was the half half full or what? Is your marathon half full or is it, I don't know how that works with a glass. It's totally different. Well, very nice. I'm glad you're here and you've been training, obviously, and you're ready. What do you do when you're not running?
Work.
I mean, what sort of work are you in?
I'm in the financial services industry.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, let's just talk about marathons.
All right, thank you, Michael.
That's John Brenner. He's from St. Louis. He's running a... Okay. When is the first day of the rest of our life? I don't know. That's just a cliche. Michelle, where's Michelle? She's an opportunity developer. What is that? When is the opportunity developing is what I want to know. If I get you to stand up here, because we want to see what an opportunity developer looks like. Looks pretty good. If I had the opportunity, I would develop it. I don't tell you. All right. Okay. Been quite an opportunity for me. What is an opportunity developer?
Someone willing to do anything to accomplish an objective.
Wow. We used to have different names for that, but I prefer opportunity developer. It's a lot classier.
Thank you. I'll stick with that.
And then what is an opportunity that you've developed recently, for example?
Okay, I do sales and marketing for a company, and just help them bring in business, basically.
Would you say a company? Is it a company we would know, would have heard of?
Probably.
Deal in pharmaceuticals?
Why do you ask?
I see a lot of opportunities in pharmaceuticals, I guess.
No.
Okay, well, that's Five Dom Miss Kilgallen. Can you say the name of the company, or...?
I probably could. Douglas Stewart Company in Madison.
Douglas Stewart, makers of fine... What do they do?
Educational supplies and software.
Okay, good. And you're developing opportunities right now, even as we speak.
Yeah. Are you interested?
No, opportunity has long passed me by. Thank you, because I wanted to know what that was.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Okay, there you go. Developing opportunities. Whatever it takes. Michelle... Would you like a hand-knit washcloth? Do I need one, or what are you trying to tell me? Dalla Hynek of West Salem?
Dala.
I say it's Dalla. You want to argue about this? It's your name. Oh, come on down here. That'd be helpful. I'll meet you halfway and give me your washcloth. Did you just make this as you're listening to the show? Wow. Can I get it like a set? Can you give me three more real quick? It's silly to have one because nothing matches this in my bed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking if I finished another, it would go to Jake. Is that right?
Why don't you give this one to Jake, actually?
Oh, okay.
But it's probably, he flew out the wood pretty quickly, I think, though. He might be in St. Paul by now.
Okay.
He traveled, actually flies in a ukulele. That's the amazing thing about it.
But then you can keep that.
Oh, well, I'll keep it. Okay, good. Thank you. I don't want to take a washcloth away from him, though.
Well, I don't know how I'll get it to him now.
All right, then three more while you're doing that, because I see you're on the second one already, so thank you very much. And then we can actually stitch them together, and I can make a little sweater. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight sides. 16. I'll need 16 plus 22. And I got a sweater. Thank you very much. That's very sweet of you, though. Can you hold that for me, because I'm going to have to walk around here. I'm afraid I want that bag now. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I really need a washcloth bag.
No, I don't.
How is Keith Richards still alive? What do I know about that? He's very well preserved, I'll say that. You can tell that he's doing something to preserve himself. What would be a good mantra for me when I hit mile 21 in the Madison Marathon? They is mirror, I think, is my mantra. I'll give you that one. They is mirror. They is mirror. They is mirror. The oi you can throw in when appropriate. Okay. Steve Donovan, you're running tomorrow?
Yeah.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Hey, Michael.
Your first? Not your first.
No.
No? Which one are you on?
It's not 43, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's 25.
I'm sorry.
It's 25.
Is it? I mean, is this marathon behavior at all compulsive?
You do one and then you do another. It seems to all of a sudden you have 25 or 43 like in the bucket. I don't
know. So, yes, it is compulsive, is what you're saying.
If that's the definition of compulsive, yes.
You keep doing something and you have to do it and you feel you've got to do it. It's a compulsion. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. Do we have a psychologist in the house here? Okay, good thing. I can say whatever I want. All right, that's good. And then, are you in training like all year for these things?
Well, I actually sign up for races, so I stay in training. Actually, it gives me the carrot at the end of the.
So the races are the training.
Yeah, sort of.
But you must run every day.
Close to it. Yeah, I try to.
So you do how many miles a day?
I could do anywhere like long runs during the weekend could be 20, but midweeks could be like 10. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. You do how much a day?
Yeah, that's about right, about 5 to 8 during the week and 16 to 20 on the weekends.
Yeah, whereas Mr. Rite of Passage here likes to do...
Oh, I do about the same, actually. I just didn't make the cut for the registration. It was all full.
No, we're not back on that.
Oh.
You're fixating on it. It's not your fault.
Yeah, well, better luck next time, I guess. But
yeah, no, it's okay, man. You still made it to the show, that's the important.
But I only have to do half the training, too, so that's good, too.
What's your name again?
David.
David
Hunt.
David Hunt, okay. So this is really important for being here, I guess, because I read it on Twitter. So
right. Yeah, I'm new to town. That's the rite of passage part.
Oh, the rite of passage.
We just moved here from Florida. I'm transporting my family up here now. We're transitioning up. My wife is from Wisconsin, so we're...
How are you shipping them?
A very, very large, comfortable box.
Very kind of you. Okay, well, this is good. This is good. We'll talk more, I'm sure. Yeah, sure. Why are you so good looking? Oh, all right. Noah Stroh, veterinarian. Oh, this is the guy I'm supposed to look like. That's why. All right, come on. We get. Oh, come on. That's it. All right, see if you can tell which one is Michael Feldman, which one is Noah, which one's Noah Stroh. I'm Noah Stroh. That's what's so amazing.
You're really good looking. Yeah.
Oh, man, we carried that off. They get it wrong every time, three times out of four, I would say. They think that I'm Feldman. If you had a third arm, where would you attach it? What's the matter with you people? Do you have a real job also, Jim, from Wapaka? Answer any of these questions. What? Why? This is not a real job? Do you want to do it? Here.
Impossible. All right, does anyone else have another question? Let's
that wasn't bad. Now sit down. What's the matter with you? This is my job. It may not be a real job, but it's mine. All right. history of horseradish? Well, it's fascinating questions here today. I didn't have a chance to go through these. Who wanted to know the history of horseradish? Just out of curiosity. Huh? Hi. Is this a sincere question?
Yes.
Well, that's very sad then. okay. What do you get for someone who's turning 60? I can't remember. I can't remember what I got. I'm sure it was nice, though. Piece of cake. Who's turning 60? Huh?
He won't put his hand up.
Okay. Well, they say 60 is a new 59, so I wouldn't worry about it. I work in theater and who is your superhero alter ego? What? Oh, I'm sorry. You are really doing the show.
All right, tell us. Your superhero. Who's your superhero? She happens to be sitting next to me.
Well, I was wondering who his superhero alter ego was.
I'm not here anymore. I've been usurped.
Should we ask
him? What?
Who's your superhero?
My superhero?
Yes.
Alter ego.
What
does that mean? Does that mean a superhero I'm like, or the superhero that I would like to be? Batman. We'll just go with that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And what's your name again? What's your name?
Dinah.
Dinah.
Strohe.
Dinah Strohe Show, ladies and gentlemen. Dinah Strohe's What Do You Know-y? All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to play the quiz. That's something I can still do, I think. In order to do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz and who ended up with that. Okay, can I get you, which aisle you want to go to? That one? That's closest. I'll meet you there, okay? Sun Prairie Athletics? On behalf of Sun Prairie Athletics, before disclaimers, Sun Prairie always has good teams, though, in all sports, I've noticed. So they do have good athletics out there. Are you associated with Sun Prairie Athletics?
No, with the Sun Prairie school system.
Oh, you are? What do you do for them?
I don't. I retired.
So you have nothing to do with them anymore? And
absolutely not.
Feeling pretty good about that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I get you. And your name is?
Margie Van Handel.
Margie, nice to have you here.
Thank you.
I'll give you this and get out of your way.
Thank you.
Okay.
Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Two, hey man, I'll start for the Packers. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. And anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done, Margie. Thank you very much. Oh, keep that. I don't need that one again. I'll call later. I'll get it for you. All right, let's see the hands of those of you who have them and want to indicate an interest of... you're too needy, sir. I appreciate your effort, but, I mean, that's over need. No, I mean, don't you think? I mean to be weird or anything, but... What? I don't know. When they start begging... Now, I've done this for a couple of years now, and when they beg you, it's just too... Oh, come on, all right. All right, this is the last time. This is absolutely the last time. Let's not make a habit of this. Why is this so important to you?
Because my son would love to have me be here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's his problem, not yours.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not my problem.
Okay. And you are?
John Prim.
John?
John.
John?
John Prim, yes.
Yeah, I said John.
And you are?
It's her show. Don't ask me who I am. John, give me one good reason you should play this quiz. It's got to be a good one.
There is a great one. I want to... It's my lifelong dream.
It's very sad. It's almost as sad as the horseradish obsession here. But that's okay, John. Come on, John. Let's give him a little support here. It's important to us. Who are we to say it shouldn't be? A lifelong obsession is a good obsession.
How are we doing?
It's really not brain surgery.
Well, brain surgery is okay.
Do you do brain surgery? You
no, not, not so much. No.
What are you
no.
doing in life?
I work at the university.
You do?
I do.
Do you know what you do there, or can't you?
I do.
Figure it out yet?
I'm a project manager.
Oh dear.
Oh God.
That covers a host of sins, doesn't it? A host of sins.
Yes, it does.
A medley of sins as a project manager,
mm-hmm.
and what you manage projects then, I guess.
Huh? I do. Yeah. Yeah. In the biochemistry department.
Biochemistry.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Any interesting projects lately in biochem?
Well, you got your mitochondria, you got your...
mitochondria, yeah.
Yeah, your membrane proteins and
okay.
things
which,
like that.
Which are selling now? I mean, which are the ones that... not selling is probably the wrong word, but yeah, which ones are selling? The mitochondria,
well, actually,
is that a big seller?
No, mitochondria, not so much, but it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And the membranes...
Membranes are always good.
And membranes.
Because...
I love those.
Especially your permeable membranes. Yeah, I find they're very useful.
Well, you know, the permeable is a good thing, but, you know, crossing the blood-brain barrier is a good thing, too.
That's where it's at now. in my thinking. Something's happening there.
Something should be crossing
that
barrier, yes.
In both directions, unfortunately. You must have a pretty good science background then.
I
know what they're talking about, right?
I do a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're being modest, I'm sure, but what is your training in biochem or?
Nutritional science.
Nutritional science?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, there is.
Really?
Yeah, but you know,
so there must be such a thing as nutrition then?
Do you like hamburgers a lot?
Why do you want to know?
I don't know. It's personal.
Are you mining my data?
What is this belt for?
I don't have to tell you that. I'm not really at the university, and I'm not in your data pool. But the bell is, in case you get rowdy, I'm going to hit you with that a couple of times.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. And for kicks, what do you like to do, John?
I like to ski. I like to chop wood. I like to...
Very active.
You know, bicycle a lot.
Do you really? Working off a lot of that around the office?
there are
pent
things.
Pent up energy?
Have to do that, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
It makes me a little bit sharper, but or not.
Yeah. Okay, good. And then this is so important to you. Did you say exactly why it was? Because...
Well, it's been a lifelong dream. I've always wanted to be on the show.
Yeah.
Since
you were a kid.
No. My son and I love to listen to the show together, and we have great memories of it.
Well, that's very sweet. All right, John, you get your chance here. This is I hope it's not a disappointment after all this time. I'd feel bad about that because I have let down on occasion. You know.
I am not disappointed at all.
Okay. Well, it's not over.
That's the story.
Someone out there plays along. Maybe we'll start with that. And how does that work, Sarah Nix?
People who want to play along, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, which is 1-800-WHAT-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, it's got to be on the label now. And on the label it says, finely textured beef, but we all know it's really what? Finely textured beef of a certain color. Let's go to the phones right now. Finely textured beef. What is it really on the label there? Rebecca's in Springfield. Mo, hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. I lost my show here to a woman in the front row, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I heard that.
So now like, you got to put this on the package label, I guess, now. And it says finely textured beef, but it's really something we've heard about that is not called that. You know what it is, Rebecca? Oh, no, I wish. No, sorry. Thanks for trying,
though.
All right, bye.
Bye.
In Calhoun, Georgia, Dustin's online. Hey, Dustin.
Hello there.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Yeah? Getting out today? How's the weather down there in Georgia, in Calhoun?
Just a little cold, but it's straight.
A little cold? Okay. Hey, Dustin, if you see get a package of beef and it says it contains finely textured beef in there, what is that really that we've heard about?
I'd say horse meat.
That's a good one, but I'm afraid that's not what we heard about here.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, thanks for trying. All right, Chips is on the line from Burlington, North Carolina. Hey, Chips.
Hey there, Michael.
Is that plural? It's not Chip?
It's Chips with an S.
Okay.
But it's singular.
Okay. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm fine. You got things you got to do today, projects lined up? Are you going somewhere or friends coming over?
Well, doing some, working on some chores, and then I'm going to go celebrate my sister's birthday.
Oh, good. What'd you get her? Or can't you say?
I can say. She's probably not listening.
Yeah, probably not.
But I bought her a book about Jim Henson.
Jim Henson from the Muppets?
From the Muppets, yes.
Oh, cool. Is she a fan?
Yep, very big.
Oh, I hope so. Otherwise, she's getting a book. Otherwise, she's getting a book she doesn't want. You know, that'd be bad. Well, that's really cool.
That's right.
All right, Chips, singular. On the label, it says finely textured beef, but we all know it as something else.
Might that be pink slime?
Pink slime is it. All right. Ooh. For some reason, it's not a selling point to call something pink slime, I guess. So that's great. Chips, this is your partner in crime here. This is John.
Hey, Chips. How are you doing?
Hi, John.
You guys,
how
are you today?
Well.
He's well. Two of you are a team. You work together, okay? Collaborate and all this stuff.
Chips.
You good?
All right. Super.
All right.
Let's go.
We have various categories, don't we, Sarah, next?
Yep, they are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Chips. Pick first one. What would you like?
Why don't we start with science?
Science it is. All right. As if you didn't have enough to worry about, is your liver eating your brain?
Talk it over. What do you think, Chips?
Simple yes or no, we'll do it.
I think yes.
How about yes?
Yes, your liver at this moment, they compete for the same proteins, is what it is. So your liver actually...
Well done, sir.
...is eating your brain. Not to worry, though, it's perfectly normal. And that would be...
That's one right and zero wrong.
Yay!
Okay.
And the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
All right, John. Moment you've longed for.
Things that we should have learned.
Yeah, okay, in school. Crapulous. Actually means one of the following. Is it the opposite of fabulous? How you feel after overeating or drinking? Or the feeling like you've forgotten something and you can't remember what. Having that crapulous feeling again. Talk it over.
Chips, how are you doing?
Well, seems like it might could be any of the three.
Yeah.
What's number two again?
How you feel after overeating or overindulging in drink.
What do you think?
I'm kind of leaning towards.
Why are you looking at me? I've had this feeling, I must admit.
Chips, what do you think? Number two, number three? Or number one?
You mean A, B, or C, don't you? Rather this. So you're saying B?
I was thinking B. What do you think, Chips?
Chips?
I was leaning toward one, but if you get the feeling that B is the correct answer, then I'll go with you.
I like it being the opposite of fabulous. It's something about that that's beautiful. Yeah. But you're saying it's actually how you feel after overeating or drinking. Hey, stay out of this. You're good at marathons.
Yes, I'm going with what you said.
Yes, that's right. How you feel, overeating, overindulging. Crapulous. Use it in your everyday speech.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Okay. What's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
You ever feel crapulous?
Rarely. Self-restraint.
Yeah. Okay, back
that's
to Chips.
That's what I've always liked about you.
How about current events?
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. Okay, you're on Facebook, and wait a minute here. What is the F button for on Facebook? There's a new button on there. It just says F.
EFF or F?
F. It's an F.
The letter F.
What's that for?
Well, I haven't been to Facebook in a few weeks, but I didn't hear about this, but the guess might be friend.
So you just press the F button.
It replaces a button that was formerly there. It did not have an F on it.
Maybe it replaces the thumbs up. So
okay. What would that be then?
I would say
that would be
friend.
Cool. That would be cool. Yeah.
Friend or the like button? You're saying the like button now is an F?
F.
Instead
me.
Of the thumbs up?
F me, yes.
That's right. It's the like button. Woo-hoo. You look good. Next time you're on there, it's not at all what you thought it was. Mm-hmm. Holy cow, they won. Whoa. They won. Wait a minute. You should be happier. What? No more standing ovations? What's the matter with you people?
I don't know.
Too lousy standing ovation. Well, congratulations. You won, but they could quit, couldn't they, Sarah?
They could quit.
Tell me what happened.
They could quit. They could go out for brunch. They could go for a walk around the square.
Oh, brunch is good.
Yeah. He's in North Carolina, though, Chip.
Right. Okay.
Well, why would we want to quit at this point?
Yeah.
Let's go for the whole enchilada.
Whole enchilada. There's a new one.
I think I like you.
Big kielbasa.
Big enchilada kielbasa.
Perfect.
Yeah. So we'll tell
and
us
in,
what's
and in order to do that, what they're doing, in fact, is risking their brunch and their prizes and all of that.
The brunch.
In the hopes of even more prizes.
So you're saying they got to get this next one right.
Yes. Or they lose everything.
They lose everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Okay. All your data.
Shall we go for it, John?
Actually, will be sold
think?
To
I think
wants.
All your data is already
Should
lost.
We go for it?
Your data may be lost.
Go for it. The audience says...
Chips, do you want to do it?
Let's go for it.
He's free for the enchilada.
I'm in.
All right, they're in for it. Let's see what's left here. What categories? And they must get this right. Or
there
then they must
are,
get it wrong.
The categories remaining are people, places, or odds and ends.
People, places, odds and ends, and I guess it's back
to odds and time. Ends.
Odds and ends is always different. Do we have a reason to be afraid of snakes? A, are you kidding? B, because preachers may be holding them? Or C, it's a primate thing?
Primate thing.
Primate thing.
You sure you don't want to think about this? It's right there. More quickly than I'm used to.
I could, audience?
No, sorry, it is a primate thing. You got it!
John, show your taste in lawn decoration and support the Packers with a pair of stylish green and gold plastic flamingos from Pink Inc.
Yeah, those are great.
Then find out why civilization started in Mesopotamia and not Boise, among other trivial morsels, in Scott Bateman's Disalmanac, a book of fact-like facts from Peregrine Books. Improve your prediction-making abilities with Matthew Hertenstein's The Tell, the little clues that reveal big truths about who we are from Basic Books. And take a very long pause that refreshes, reading the 500-page third edition of Forgotten Country and Coca-Cola, the definitive history of the great American soft drink and the company that makes it, including the original secret formula by Mark Pendergast, also from Basic Books. Wow. Chips, every morning will begin a quiz-winning way for you with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee, and the rest of the day will be smooth and mellow with Costa Rican Terra soup from Madison's Deep and Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. Then imagine a breathtaking view of the Gulf of Mexico wearing a Shaggy's Biloxi Beach t-shirt. Take notes with a pair of pencils from the Silver Coach Restaurant in Stevens Point. Ride the rails with a pin in your lapel from the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay. And read about Michael's turn as a cowboy in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations, Steve.
Congratulations, gentlemen. Chips, hang on. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing, man. Good job.
Thank you, John.
John, you're my guy. I hope it was worth it. I hope it lived up to expectations. All right. Oh, boy. He's a hugger. He's a hugger. Oy. Oh, boy.
Catch What Do You Know live in Madison at the beautiful Minotta Terrace. Tickets and scheduling information are available online at notmuch.com. And you can take What Do You Know with you at notmuch.com mobile. You can play the online quiz, listen to the archives, and purchase tickets all on the fly. Just bookmark notmuch.com on your smartphone or tablet. Thank you. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is, of course, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a hilarious hotline, thanks for the memos, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who reminds us there's nothing in the rules says you have to be a quarterback, it's Michael Feldman.
Thank you so much. And each week at this time, we don't. We read an actual memo. That's what we do.
Yes. Yeah.
It's thanks for the memo is what it is. And I got one right here, and I sort of like this one. I don't know why. But it has a lot to do with the state of Ohio, and let's see what it means. This went out to everybody from, what's his name? And it reads as follows. Comments. Employee ID is now State of Ohio User ID as of October 3rd in Employee Services. General, the term for the 8-digit numeric code assigned to state employees has been changed from Employee ID to State of Ohio User ID. The former term employee ID no longer represents the broadening population of potential users that are assigned this code. In an effort to standardize the use of the State of Ohio user ID term, agencies are replacing employee ID as well as the alternative terms that have been used for your numeric ID. In addition to employee ID, the alternative terms you may have seen include Oaks ID, My Ohio ID, Core ID, Imply ID, contingent worker ID, etc. The assignment of the user ID code to a broader population also is tied to the identity management migration project, which requires that a user have a State of Ohio user ID to establish a state Microsoft Outlook account and access to SharePoint. Yes, well, you want that. Some users of the Ohio Administrative Knowledge System, OAKS, will continue to see the term employee ID because the term is a permanent label in PeopleSoft. Thank you for this, and please remember this is effective as of October 3. Thank you so much, Employee Services, in case you happen to be in Ohio right now and you wonder why you no longer have an employee ID. I know it's lame, but it's true. Now, if you want to send in these memos or if you want to send in a letter.
If somebody wants to improve on that memo.
Comment or.
They can send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, a subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
I did like the identity migration project.
Yes, it's a scary thought.
I'd like to know more about that, where it's going to, for example.
If you want to send us more information, you can do that by mail.
How do they do that?
If you want to do it by mail, you could do it 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. 53706, care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry, Nick. Well, it's a special time once again now for a special hotline, the one we have every so often when there's nothing else to do. That's what I'm talking about. This is Your Life, in which we pick a member of our audience and everyone they've ever known calls in and talks about them. Anecdotes from the past, right? You know, this is your life. Remember that famous show? And they had people, and they had people calling in, and you try and guess who it is because you don't even know who this is calling in. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's gratifying and heartwarming. And then we give you a washer and dryer. No, you don't get a washer. That's Queen for a Day. I'm sorry. And I have selected here after careful study for This Is Your Life right now. Congratulations, Eileen. From Lancaster, Wisconsin. This is your life. Come on down, Eileen. From Lancaster, Wisconsin. Here she is. Eileen. She just uses the one name. This Is Your Life, Eileen. Come on. Okay, I guess a lot of the calls, a lot of the people that you've known will be in the Lancaster area there, western Wisconsin, right?
Possibly not.
Possibly not, because yeah. you've been all over, really, haven't you?
Well, I grew up in Poinette.
In Poinette, for just one place out of many that Eileen. Could we give your last name, Eileen? Would you mind?
Dushek Monty.
Okay, you give it every so often, because I can't say that. Dushek Monty?
Dushek. With a K.
Dushek.
And then Monty.
With a Monty with an I or a Y?
M-A-N-T-H-E.
Okay. I'll just put a Y there so I can say it right. Eileen Dushek Monty. This is your life. So it's a number to call right now. If you know Eileen Dushek Monty, Dushek.
The number to call is 1-800-942-5669.
Of course, Eileen, you grew up in Poinette.
Yes.
And went, of course, to Poinette School for many, many years.
I did.
Starting at Poinette Grade School.
Well, I went to Arlington Grade School.
Arlington Grade School.
And then in third grade, we moved into Poinette. So
yeah.
We all went to Poinette.
Yeah, sorry. Was it a big transition for you? Did you make a lot of lifelong friends there when you made the transition to Poinette School?
Well, I did. It was the same school district, but Arlington was one of the smaller schools.
Yeah.
And then everybody came into Poinette after that.
And who and at that school at that time, who was your favorite teacher? I think I know the answer to this one.
At Arlington or Poinette?
At Poinette Grade School. It kind of took you under wing.
Miss Butler.
Miss Butler. And, of course, many of Miss Butler's students are still, they've probably left, a lot of them have left Poinette. But they're everywhere now, and I'm sure I'll be hearing from a lot of them at, what's that number again? Because the phones are not ringing so far.
The number
is Eileen Dushek Monty. This is your life.
That's right. If you'd like to call in with memories, the number is 1-800-942-5669.
That's right, and we'll be hearing a lot of those people, I think, from Poinette. Then, of course, the middle school was a big transition, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we went up the ramp.
Went up the ramp. Oh, was that close?
It was all connected.
It was all connected. Of course it was. I don't know what I'm thinking of. And in middle school, you made friends that you have kept for life in middle school.
I hope so, yes. Yes, I have. I have.
Some of those people that you recall offhand that you were closest to.
Julie and Sonia and Vicky.
Julia, Sonia.
And Maureen.
Of course. Maureen. And you got involved in many school activities in the middle school.
I did.
Yes. Oh, and matter of fact, here's a voice you're going to remember. Hi.
Hello.
Who is that?
I have no idea.
This is Tim.
Tim? You remember Tim? Tell us a little thing that happened many years ago, and she'll start to put this together, Tim. Oh. Might have been for another reason. Yeah.
I have a cousin named Jim.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hi, who's this?
This is Mike.
Does that ring a bell? It's Mike!
Yes.
From Lancaster!
Yes! Mike.
Yeah. That one. Mike. Mike.
It's not hump day.
I know.
Oh, some memories of Eileen back in those days in Lancaster, Mike.
Oh, she's a dear friend of ours.
Yes.
We're in theater together.
In theater together. Excellent.
Yep. And we went to the same church. She and her husband Bill are up there for their anniversary, so spoil them rotten.
Okay. So and just some memories. What's one of your favorite memories of with Eileen? Something that occurred that's still somewhat amusing after all these years.
There was a time that she and a couple of her friends pranked our house for about 3 months before Christmas.
3 weeks.
3 weeks, no. It had to be longer than that, because it started before Thanksgiving.
Oh, Mike.
We'd come home and we'd find stuff on the porch and stuff in our cars, and it was quite a hoot.
Yeah. And then did you, was it returned then? Did you get her back, Mike?
Got some of them back. I don't think I ever got Eileen back.
Nope.
So that's still going to happen, I think, huh, Mike?
Well, she and her husband aren't gone for the weekend, so.
Yeah. Okay. How about that, Mike?
I love Mike.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Okay. But there's more. Mike, that was a wonderful memory for Mike and for the plays and everything. But there's, I think you're going to call this name. Say hello to Eileen. Hi. Yes, go ahead. Say hello to Eileen.
Hi, Eileen. This is Joanne. I was Zelmer, and now I'm Alan. And I babysat for your family when your mother went to the hospital to have you.
Oh, to have me?
When you were ahead. Back when you were ahead.
So, don't you have, like, maybe six siblings?
I do have six other siblings.
Yes, yes. And I babysat. I took care of your father. I would come home at lunchtime and help. And I made all the meals for the kids and everything. And your mom was in the hospital having you.
Well, thank you.
You don't remember? I guess you were a little young.
I was a little young. A
little young. And what kind of a baby was, a young baby was, Joanne? Eileen.
Well,
I forget everybody's name. It's not just you. Yes.
I left when she came home.
Oh, you did. So you never, did you get to see her when she came home?
I don't think I saw her.
No, okay.
But I've lived in the area, and I've seen all of the siblings grow up.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of fun.
Well, that's quite, so it's like a prequel. That's it.
Yeah.
It's an Eileen prequel, and you actually babysat while she was being had. And then, isn't that something? Joanne.
Thanks, Joanne.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joanne, for calling in. Okay. That's so cool. And Eileen
Dushek.
Shek Monty?
Yes.
Yeah, and then so your many friends are still out there. And that was unusual to hear from her after all these years.
It was. That was pretty cool.
You never actually got to meet, but in the intervening years, she's probably seen you around.
Probably.
Probably around. And then, of course, we go to high school there are we still in?
Poinette.
Still in Poinette?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In high school, many activities. What was your favorite school activity? Was it drama at that point as well?
No, actually, didn't do any drama in high school. I was in band and chorus and cheerleading and track.
You were in everything.
I was in a lot of different
things. You're in a lot of different things. What's that number again? Because we want to get on the... Here. This
the
is
number
your
is
life.
1-800-942-5669.
Okay, it's a number to call, and I'm sure that a lot of those people out there from all those activities you were in, cheerleading and all those other things, and band as well?
All those other things, and band. Band and chorus.
Isn't that a conflict of interest? If the band is playing at a game and we had to run back and forth?
We did.
Really?
Yeah, we cheered during the game, and then at halftime and pregame, we were on the field.
You have to make a quick change somewhere?
No. Just in our cheerleading uniforms.
You played in the band in your cheerleading uniform?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What and your instrument was?
Clarinet.
The clarinet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And how was the team that year? I'm sure I'll be hearing from many of the people on the... this was the what year was this? This class of the...
Class of 1980.
Yeah. At Poinette. Yeah. Good team
class.
That year?
I think so. That was a long time ago, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be hearing from some of them. What is that number again? The Eileen Duquette Monty.
The number again is
hotline
1-800.
And this is your life.
4-2-5-6-6-9. Also known as 1-800-WANO or 1-800.
Okay.
Whack now.
Okay. Yeah, those phones are ringing. Now, of course, we know that you are an editor and writer for the Dominican Sisters.
I am.
Yeah, and what sort of writing and editing are you doing there?
We have a couple of magazines. One goes out to the sisters and one goes out to the donors. And I write a lot of stories for both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I help with the appeals that go out, do the interviews for those. I write all the press releases for all the events that are happening at the mound.
Yeah. And did school prepare you for some of these skills and skill sets and so forth?
Sure. I went to University of Wisconsin, Platteville.
Platteville! I'm sure it was John from Platteville, you know.
Is he?
You know the Tulings from...
I don't.
No? Okay. Well, here's a voice that you're going to remember. And this is going to be very special. And, okay, it's still being... There it is. Okay. See if you remember Annette. Hello? Annette?
Hello? Yes?
Well, and what are some of your memories of Eileen?
You know what? I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
I just got in my car.
Oh,
I just got in my car.
Oh,
okay,
I see.
Fill me in.
You don't know Eileen?
And I don't know Annette.
Oh, okay. You're in Michigan, I guess, huh?
I am in Michigan.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Me? I'm from around here, but she's from Lancaster. Do you know any Eileens or anything? Diane? Dominican sisters?
No, but I know some Dominican sisters. My aunt was a Dominican sister.
There you go. Okay. And where was she one?
In various parts of Michigan.
Various parts of Michigan.
Was she in Adrian? Was she in Adrian, Dominican?
I don't think she was in Muskegon, in Grand Rapids, in Beale City, which is a teeny tiny, my hometown.
Okay, so she was a traveling Dominican sister.
Most of them are.
Yeah, traveling, teaching Dominican.
Okay.
A teacher.
Okay, well, thanks, Annette. Thanks for that.
Hey.
Okay, talk to you a little later, perhaps. Well, Eileen, I guess that's all the time we have right now, because this is Your Life, Eileen Duchette Monty. Did I finally get it right?
You finally
close?
Did.
Well, close. We have all kinds of wonderful prizes for you, though, for being on This Is Your Life. And what are they, Sarah?
Well, to start with, you can ward off the chilly winds of fall with fine wines from the Wollersheim Winery, makers of Wine of the Year at the San Diego International Wine Competition, and then travel to exotic lands through the magic sound of Jerry Baker's, rather Becker's CD, Wrong Way Charlie's Safari Adventure, and amuse yourself cheering boring sermons, playing church bingo, looking for things such as blessings and sin from Say Cheese Designs.
There you go. Perfect. This is Your Life. Eileen Duchette Monty, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Calls are still coming in. We just don't know.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
All right. This calls for a little number.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. What do you think about going to just... I'm not saying the bass isn't a wonderful instrument, but I could see a ukulele there. You know, it's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, it's definitely crowd pleaser.
Not that a bass isn't. I mean, there's a big audience for bass.
There is?
Yeah, no, there is.
I mean, there is.
No,
there
a
is.
Lot of people come for the bass.
Of course
bass.
There is.
I'm just thinking a lot more people would come for a ukulele, probably.
Yeah, they might, yeah.
Any thoughts on this? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, can't we just keep them both?
Well, can you play a ukulele?
My daughter's taking lessons. I could start.
Can your daughter play? We could have her in here and probably a lot cheaper.
Yeah, forget about Jake. We got to Gianna.
Gianna, yeah.
And she could be the Jake of the ukulele. Yeah.
In fact, we wouldn't need a piano then either, come think of it.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not sure.
Covers some, both
maybe
bases.
Maybe that kind of an idea, really.
Both bases pretty easily.
Ukulele could get maybe old after a while. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay, all right. Now, what do you got for us here?
This is called The Jam.
The Jam. Yeah. Don Truling, Jeff Hammond on the bass. Thank you.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
You know, sometimes I feel it's unfair that those of you who come here get to hear these little minutes that Jeff does. But people at home, they're probably wondering, why do we come back and everyone's in such a good mood? And it's I'm going to let you finish up on this little thing you're doing here, Jeff, just to backtrack. He fills in the 1 minute we have here with whatever is on his mind. Sometimes he does it the same one, like several weeks in a row, and it's so we get to know what's on his mind pretty clearly. Do you want to just finish up with what you're doing there, just a little bit?
Okay, just a little bit. Okay, guys, well, here's our quiz here. So just raise your hand for yes, put it on for no. Who here has ever cut themselves shaving?
They can't really hear that.
Wait a minute. We're going to talk technical things right now, Michael. Let's start that over. Okay. Who here has ever cut themselves shaving? Okay. Their neighbor's cat. Well, that's different.
Now I don't feel so bad. Okay. Just so you know what you were possibly missing there. Shaving their neighbor's cat. He works on those, too. I still got this horseradish thing, and it's been burning all this time. I personally like horseradish. Not everyone does. You like horseradish? No? Yes? No? Splits a couple right down the middle there. She likes it. He doesn't care for horseradish. But the history of horseradish is something we don't often consider. Do we? Do you actually know the history of horseradish?
No, that's why I asked you.
Oh, okay. Then I made this trip for nothing. Why would it be a concern of yours?
Well, because we like horseradish and we eat it, and yeah. We were just curious.
You're wondering where the heck that comes from? Well, I think it comes from the actual horseradish itself, doesn't it? That would be my guess. Anyone here know actually?
It's a root.
I'll be right back. What's your name?
Muna.
Muna, I'll be right back on this. I got authority right here on the horseradish itself. It is a root, of course, from the horseradish plant, I believe. Am I still on base? Thank you. Yes, you are?
Barry Ween.
Barry, and your contact with horseradish has been?
Years of Passover. It was invented, actually, to go with gefilte fish.
Good point, because gefilte fish is rather bland, as the gefilte is a very bland fish.
Yes, it's true. Yes.
And it needs the horseradish, but what more do you know about it?
That pretty much sums up my knowledge.
Okay, thanks. You really weren't helpful at all, but I appreciate that. And you got ladybugs on your purse. Ladybugs.
Ladybugs.
Bugs on your bag.
This isn't.
It could be a ladybug bag.
This is my mom's. My mom passed away this summer, and she loved ladybugs, and so I have a lot of ladybug things.
Isn't that sweet? That's very sweet. But that doesn't give us the history of horseradish, does it? Anyone have a little more? Oh, thank you very much for my washcloth. Didn't think I'd get that back. Horseradish, come on, someone here, grow it or. Because there's got to be a history to it, I guess. Someone, that was a leap of faith, really, to eat the first horseradish. Wouldn't have occurred to me, necessarily. It is good on gefilte fish, but that's not everyone's cup of tea either. Let's face it. How you doing? You like horseradish?
No, I don't.
No?
I don't eat it.
You don't eat it?
Very seldom.
Did you try it? And
I don't want to try it again.
Okay. Was this recently? Was it a long time ago? You had a bad experience?
Long time ago. No.
Do you remember the circumstance?
I think it was at Thanksgiving. Okay. And I confused it with the mashed potatoes. It didn't go well.
Oh, no, that's a lifelong feeling, then. That stays with you, that experience.
It stayed with me, yes.
Oh. And you are?
Jim.
Okay, thanks, Jim, for that. See, it could be traumatic. I'm sorry, who you're at? Yes. Can I get you to stand? Hello, how are you? You are?
Hi, I'm Pamela Egan.
Pamela Egan.
From Madison, Wisconsin.
From Madison, Wisconsin. Okay. Muna? Muna over here wants to know the history of horseradish. Can you supply it?
Well, I can give you some information about application. Perhaps not. Okay, well, I just found out this summer that you put horseradish in coleslaw. Does anybody?
Well, I can't say I'm shocked at that news, but I could see it might occur in a
traditional New London recipe.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to drag him into this.
What?
I want to drag him into
it. It'd be great to meet over a drink somewhere, you know. Really, I bet a lot of this stuff would come out. It's like sort of secret stuff.
Yes. This is.
What else have you discovered about horseradish?
Well, I'm not Jewish, but I am Irish, and we used to eat it with ham. And then also my...
Used to, too. Our family was Reformed.
Yeah. Good. Yum. And then the other thing was that my aunt used to prepare a whipped cream and horseradish sauce to put on prime rib at Christmas time.
Well, you know, I've had that type of a creamy horseradish. It's excellent on prime rib, I have to say.
It's really just a little bit of horseradish within the whipped cream, and it's quite delicious.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for clarifying that.
But I do want to emphasize that coleslaw recipe.
A little bit is okay. Can we stop now, Muna? I really am. This is beating a dead horse radish. Okay. Oh, come on. Gotta do something. Kristen Berhanoff, originally from St. Louis, now Madison, says, what is your favorite animal? I love the animal I'm with. Aww. You know? If you can't be the animal you love, you know, you love the animal you're with. I've loved a lot of different animals in my day. You know, I mean, not love, you know, come on. I don't mean that. I mean, you know, fond of. Where is Kristen? Anyhow, get me out of this. Okay, she's way down there. I got to go. Pardon me, I got to get my washcloth here. For the flop sweat, this is very handy. Very nice. Are you working? Where is she working on the other ones now? How far did you get? Another one? Let's have it. I need like 26 more for the sweater. I forget the number I came up with. Do you remember the number?
No. Sorry.
22? 22. So I got 20 more, please. Have we got time? We'll run the show long if you have to. You're very quick. This is excellent. I got at least a pair now. All right. Doing good?
All right. Good. Yeah, pretty good.
You running the marathon, too?
I am.
You look like a runner.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. How many miles do you do a day?
About the same, 5, 8.
What's with you guys?
We're crazy.
Don't you have lives? I mean, what do you do when he's out running?
I stay home.
Okay. You run in place at home, or what do you do?
Sometimes I ride my bike with him.
Oh, that's okay. Okay.
You got a matching set now?
Yeah. But I need a lot more.
Yeah.
So, what are we talking about, horseradish or something else?
Animals,
that's right. What do you have to say about them?
Well, I wanted to ask what your favorite animal is.
Oh, that's right. That was you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm back in. Yeah. Okay.
Do you have a favorite?
Well, I have a puggle. That's my favorite right now.
Puggles are fun.
They come and go. I've had other animals.
Sure.
I don't lie to you.
Like a favorite species of animal type? Like wild animals?
Like mammals.
Okay. Yeah. It's a class.
I'm used to them. Some people are reptile people. I never.
I like reptiles.
Amphibians, you never know where they're going to be.
Oh, marsupials.
Land, water. What?
Marsupials?
Well, you know, we don't have a lot in Wisconsin.
But a good marsupial is.
Is there? Possum. Yeah, possums, you know.
Yeah, they're the only marsupial in North America. Possums are.
You know a lot about animals, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of animals?
I have two dogs from the shelter.
Okay, that's kind of disappointing, actually.
Yeah, I know. I have a really small house, so I just work with animals instead. When I can.
So you work with, what sort of work do you do with animals?
I work at the Dane County Humane Society as an adoption counselor. Yeah, so I send animals home.
Wonderful. Nice to meet you. Are there any a little more exotic? Anything exotic out there if we want to break through to other animals?
Sometimes. We just had a snake get adopted last week. We have a bearded dragon available right now.
What?
A bearded dragon type of lizard. We always have, like, guinea pigs and rabbits and stuff like that.
I'm interested in the bearded dragon, I guess.
Yeah.
Did someone adopt it?
No, it's still there. He's a little one. He's, like, that big.
Someone had a bearded dragon and didn't...
I don't remember how it came to
it was a bad idea and rethinking it?
Yeah. I don't know how it got there.
Are they large or...
No, they don't get too big. A foot long, maybe. That's the biggest. Yeah.
Are they affectionate?
Not really. No, they just kind of.
I need
hang
some
out.
Affection because you get affection from mammals. I don't right. know about from bearded dragons so much.
No, they just kind of look at you. They eat their crickets and their salads.
Okay. But they look at you with a sense of satisfaction or a sense of. Do they acknowledge you? Do they know you?
No, not at all.
I don't think I can do it then. I hope they find someone for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure it will. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you dear, very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
And do a good job out there. And your name again is?
Kristen.
Kristen, that's you here then. Okay. All right. I got to just put these up here. Would you hold on to these for me? If you can, start crocheting them together. What is your bass player's phone number for my friend Chris? Jennifer Ann asks, what is the name or number of your bass player in the band for my friend wants to know? I'm hoping this is the same friend at least. Yeah. Is it? Okay. You're the friend? You Chris?
The friend's not here.
Okay. Why? What is it about him that you think you're... She came to the show a while ago and wanted his phone number. Did she know about his large family? No. Is that going to be a stumbling block?
Because yeah. he is Mormon, you know, so it's...
Oh, sister come
was.
On
Oh,
now.
Sorry. No, I know.
What? Do you have a single brother?
I have a sister.
Is she single? No? Okay. Nothing single around him. Including the children. There's three of them. Okay, so sorry. Chris will find somebody, though. Does it have to be a bass player?
That particular bass player.
But, come on, they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, does she favor a bass player over other instruments? Or?
Maybe.
Well, shouldn't you ask before you start soliciting for her? Yeah, all right. Okay, well, we can't do it. Deer hunting season. Is it deer hunting? When's deer hunting season?
Not quite yet. I don't
Not
think
quite yet?
Yet.
Oh, it's Beau? Yeah? Who is this, John? Eau Claire attorney? Nice to know Eau Claire attorneys are out there shooting guns. So I was wondering, you got CPAs out there, and I mean, you've shot a gun before, right? You go out there.
Yes. But my question was, as this season approaches, my wife asks all these strange questions that are unanswerable. But about this time of the year, when she thinks about field dressing a deer, she says, why do they call it dressing a deer? They should call it undressing.
Oh, this is great. This is a conversation the two of you should have, I think, really more than...
So I was wondering if you could answer that question.
No, I really can't because I'm not married to her, and it's not my problem, really. Believe me, you wouldn't want to answer the questions my wife asked me.
Like what?
What is that doing there? That is not where that belongs. I'm sorry. I didn't get the memo on that. Who does that? That's a big one. Who does that? How do you answer? You can't even answer. Who does that? I don't know who does that. That's just what I did. And, you know, so answer those questions, and then I'll deal with field dressing, undressing. That's nothing.
Well, my other question to you was going to be, why is your wife never at the show? But I think you just answered that.
Who does that? Sit down and be grateful.
Thank you.
Just sit down and be grateful. Shoot those deers or whatever you do out there. But I it always worries me. Deer season, you get these guys who come up there, commodities brokers from Chicago, and they're armed to the teeth. I don't know. They're storming through Wisconsin. It worries me. Doesn't it worry you? Deer season, that's the thing that worries me about it. It's not so much the hunting idea. Okay, so anyhow, are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
You a hunter?
No.
You're in sort of khaki drab here. I wonder if you're...
No, that's the kind of clothes I wear. I work at Duluth Trading, so that's the
what
kind
you
of...
Do? Yeah. Is that pure Duluth? Are you everything wearing Duluth top to toe to top?
Nike shoes.
Doesn't Duluth make Duluth shoes?
Yeah, yep.
They do? Yep. make that underwear,
too. Steel-toed, probably, running shoes.
Work boots, yeah, you could run in them, I guess.
Depends who's chasing you, I would think. Okay, anyhow, we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because, look, she's still going at it. You are so good. What is your name again, dear?
Dayla.
Okay, Dayla the Knitter. Okay. Like in Tale of Two Cities, we're putting all our names in those things. What? Who? Where? It's got to be you, dear. I got over your initial this... I'll thrust arm, but come on over here. I've had my eye on you because there's something about you. There's something about you. A je ne sais quoi, as we say in English. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And your name is?
Liz Trausch.
Liz, and are you from around here? Or?
Originally from Sparta. My sister and I grew up in Sparta. She lives in Madison. I'm here visiting.
Oh, yeah. How's life in Sparta?
It's great.
Good to be back home?
Yes.
Okay, and Liz, can you give me one good reason you should play this quiz?
I think I know a lot about a lot of things.
Okay. She thinks she knows a lot about a lot of things. Come on down here, Liz. There, sit next to that, whatever that thing is. Emu, ostrich, what have you. It's really just a stuffed thing. Not a genuine animal that you could love. But I like
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Some people have emus and stuff. Anyone here have an emu? Huh? Any emu lovers? Large birds of any sort? Large birds? What do you got?
Ostrich.
You got an ostrich?
No. Got a picture.
Got a picture of an ostrich. Liz, huh?
Yes.
So what are you doing these days, Liz?
I'm retired.
Yeah? What'd you retire from?
I'm a homemaker, kind of retired from that. Mom, and I worked as a secretary.
Yeah, and a homemaker. Mm-hmm. You made the home, and then you're done with it, right?
Yep. I still have to clean it, though.
Yeah. And where is this home being made at?
Lake Elmo, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, Lake Elmo. I've heard so much about Lake Elmo. But I still don't know what kind of fish they got in there.
I don't either. I don't fish.
Nobody in the family stuck a hook or a worm or anything in Lake Elmo?
No.
How is it possible? Do you live right on the lake?
No, we live near Lake Jane.
I know, you live in Lake Jane, but they're almost...
But the city of Lake Elmo has a big lake called Lake Elmo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does anyone actually go on it? Or?
Yes. There's a lot of recreation, docks, piers.
Well, do you have a boat then, and just at least...
No.
Okay. When you looked for a place originally, did you want a water frontage or anything? Or?
No, not really.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of lakes in Minnesota.
I know, it's hard to avoid them, I guess.
Exactly.
Really? Almost thousands and thousands of lakes you can't avoid.
Right.
There should be. Okay, and then, but you're from Sparta originally?
Right.
Yeah, oh, okay. Big family, the farm family in Sparta? Or
we were in the city, but there were seven of us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you needed a farm, but you had to live in the city.
We had a lot of cousins on farms.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. And you're in town just for reunion time and all that?
My sister lives here in Madison now. I'm down to visit her.
Yeah. Are you having a lot of fun?
Yes.
Picking up your heels?
Or? Yes.
What do you guys do when you have fun?
Well, we went out for fish last night.
Okay, because you can't get them back home, God knows. All those damn lakes. You can... Yeah, what kind of fish you get?
I got shrimp.
Technically not a fish.
Not a fish, but it was a fish fry Friday night, so.
Okay. Didn't care for the fish, though. Huh? Well, you have a long history of not caring about fish. Was it good, then?
I love fish, yes.
Yeah.
Love to eat it.
Excellent. Liz, someone out there plays along with you, and how do they do that?
People who want to play the quiz pick up their phones and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
Do I?
Somewhere.
Oh, I do. Do I? Okay. All right. Pink slime. We did that one. Okay. Let's see here now. Let's see. Yeah, this is it. Okay. No, that's not it either. Did that one too. Okay. What are those 165-million-year-old froghopper bugs doing? This was a fossil that was discovered recently in China, actually, which has caused quite a buzz around the fossil insect world. They're 165-million-year-old froghopper bugs, two of them. The question is, what are they doing in that fossil? Let's go to the phones right now. Alan's on the line from Milton, West Virginia. Hey, Alan.
Hey.
You guys got a football game coming up there?
Yeah.
Who are they playing?
I don't know.
you're not a fan?
Not a big fan.
Not a big fan, huh? What's your sport or activity then?
Snowboarding.
You're a snowboarder?
Yeah, it's just getting ready to start.
No kidding. You've been doing that for a while?
Yeah.
Is that where they strap you to a board and they throw you down a mountain or something? Isn't that how that works?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. You ever get any, I mean, it's kind of dangerous though, isn't it? Because of avalanches and everything.
Well, we're not that steep. We're not out west.
Oh, okay.
a little bit safer than that.
Yeah. Well, that's really... I don't get... Isn't that where your feet are pointed in the same direction, aren't they? On a board?
Not necessarily.
No, not after a while.
Across the board.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Oh, okay. Alan, did you hear about these 165-million-year-old bugs? Frog hoppers? And a fossil in China?
No.
Then you probably don't know what they were doing in that fossil.
Don't have an idea.
Want to take a guess? You know frog hoppers.
Frog hoppers.
Yeah, frog hoppers.
I know frogs hop.
Yeah, these are bugs, though. They're called frog hoppers.
So they like frog fleas?
I couldn't tell you that much, but these are old ones. Go ahead. Take a stab at it. What were they doing? What?
They're just hopping from frog to frog?
In a fossil? Oh, that'd be hard to do in a fossil. All right, Alan, I've given you every break I can. I'm sorry.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you. Bye. Norman's from Cleveland. Hey, Norman.
Yes, how are you?
Pretty good. How's yourself?
On my way to work.
Where do you work?
Well, I'm teaching today. I'm a musician. And I met Jake when I was playing the Cognac France Blues Festival.
No kidding.
What a great guy he was.
Yeah, he's a fantastic guy. And what a player.
Yes, and very funny, and as you heard. I'm sorry that I missed most of it, but wow, he was great and very, very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And so I'm just on my way to teach.
Okay. What do you play, Norman?
Saxophone, clarinet, flute.
And
so I'm teaching this afternoon and playing tonight.
You're like a one-man klezmer band.
I conduct, actually, the Workman Circle Klezmer Orchestra.
See, I'm a psychic. I'm a psychic.
You play sax?
No, I'm just a psychic. I don't play anything.
Oh, no, we are playing tomorrow at the Beechwood Library for Jewish Book Month, for a National Jewish Book Month or something.
Is that in the Heights?
The library is great. Our whole library system here is great.
Yeah. Okay. Norman, not to get too far off track here, though. That's great, and look forward to it if you're not in the Cleveland area. They found these 165-million-year-old bugs, frog hopper bugs, in a fossil. What were they doing is the question.
Hopping on other frog hoppers.
All right. Have a good lesson, Norman.
Bye.
Nice talking with you, man. Hey, bye. Tom's on the line from Akron, Ohio. Hey, Tom.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Were you a fossil hunter when you were a kid? I used to love to collect fossils.
Not by profession.
No, it wasn't my profession when I was a kid. Kids don't have professions, but just like finding them, you know, trilobites and stuff. Anyhow, they found this fossil. It's 165 million years old. It's got two frog hopper bugs in it, and the question is, what are they doing?
Playing leapfrog?
No, come on, Tom. Thanks, though. Goodbye.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry. In Rockford, Illinois, Michael knows, don't you, Michael?
Yeah.
What were they doing, Michael?
They were mating.
They were mating! Yay! The youth of America knows. That makes it a very rare fossil. There's one you hope you find. You never do, I guess. And Michael, are you a fossil collector?
Yes. I went to a party with my class a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh. Find anything cool?
Yeah, I found a cephalopod.
Ooh, cephalopods are good. And there's a lot of them. At that point in history, it was like wall-to-wall cephalopods, I think, for some reason. I don't know why, but nature's a funny thing. And what grade are you in, Michael?
I am a sophomore.
Sophomore in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, good man. And you're going to Rockford High, whatever it's called?
I'm at Boylan High School.
Oh, where's that?
It's in Rockford.
Okay, cool.
It's, I'm the only Jewish kid at the Catholic high school.
Atta boy, hang in there. And when you bring your matzah in for the holidays, they all gather around you. I wonder what that is. Because my brother Clayton went to Marquette. Same thing. He said, well, suddenly I'm the biggest attraction at Marquette. Michael, this is Liz. She's your partner here.
Hi, Michael.
You still there, Michael?
Hi.
Yeah. So you know how this quiz works, Michael? Well, I'll tell you how it works anyhow, if you don't. The two of you work together. We have a quiz of various questions, and then you work together trying to answer them. And if you get three of them right, then you win the quiz and some fabulous prizes. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. And we have various categories here, don't we, Sarah?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Mike, we'll let you pick the first one.
I'm sorry?
We'll let you pick the first category. You know which one of those categories you want?
I didn't hear that.
Okay, pay attention, will you, Michael?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Which one of those?
Things you should have learned in school if you were paying attention.
Okay. Can a female goat have horns? Talk it over. Liz, Michael.
What do you think, Michael?
I couldn't hear it.
Can a female goat have horns? Is the question.
Liz,
you better step in here.
I think it's true.
No, I don't.
Well, Liz thinks it's true. They can. How do you feel about
it?
You gonna go with that?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. A female goat can have horns. So look for identification. Okay.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, very good. So
and the categories remaining are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Liz?
Let's try places.
Places could be anywhere. Yes, it is. It's anywhere. The most extroverted people in these United States come from one of the following states. Is it New Jersey, California, or Wisconsin?
Oh.
Most extroverted.
I think it must be Wisconsin.
You think it must be?
Yes, it must be.
Yes, it is. Yay! Wisconsin! Varsity! Okay.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Yeah.
You're doing well.
Yeah, hey.
And the category.
That's pretty good. We finally won something good, you know, instead of overweight. Most of them, you know, getting sick of that, binge drinking, you know. Extroverts. Of course, they're probably related to those other things, but still.
The categories remaining are current events, people, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Back to Michael.
Yes.
Which one?
I'll do current events.
Current events. All right, the Friends of the Lava in Iceland are opposed to any lava being ruined in a development because of what belief about the lava stones in Iceland? Would you like a different category? Because, you know, there's not. I could give you a different category if that's a little obscure, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, lava stone. Pick a different category, Michael.
Okay.
We don't care about the lava stones in Iceland at the moment. Big controversy there, I won't kid you.
The categories that are left for your information are people, science, or odds and ends.
Sorry about that.
I'll do science.
Science, okay, science. You're good in science, right?
I love science.
That's your subject.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, cool. What kind of science are you taking right now?
I'm in physics.
Ooh, that's good. And you like it?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, if you can learn physics, you can learn anything. I think. For me, I can never get heads or tails of it. Anyhow, the shortcomings of invisibility cloaks. Okay, the shortcomings of invisibility cloaks, according to those who know, is one of the following. A, not everybody looks good in them. B, when stretched tight, everything is suddenly visible. Those are the Lululemon invisibility cloaks. And then... and the final one here, C, is only good against one wavelength of light. So you'd have to have one that somehow had all the wavelengths covered. Invisibility cloaks.
Go, Michael.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it can only do the
one wavelength.
That's exactly Yay! Right. Oh, yeah. Very good, Michael.
They've won.
They did?
They've won.
That was three?
That's three right and zero.
Boy,
one.
That went fast.
Yay.
Do you, but they could win even more, couldn't they?
They could.
Well, do you want to elaborate on that? Or I got to guess what you mean by that?
In order to win even more, they'd have to gamble everything they've won so far.
Yeah.
For the chance of winning the mother load.
So you say they could stand to lose everything,
Absolutely
but they could gain
everything.
The world.
Correct. Well, I don't know about the world, but they
okay.
could.
Okay, a lot of stuff. What do you think, Michael, Liz, you want to go on for the grand, giant kielbasa?
Only one more question you have to get right.
Yeah, one
you
question.
Just try one more?
All or nothing for one question.
What do you want to do, Michael?
I don't know.
Go.
Okay, let's go for it.
Jump.
Okay.
They're going for it.
Yay.
Okay. It's so exciting. So if we disregard the current events one, what's left? Anything?
People or odds and ends.
People or odds and ends.
Oh, let's try odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Yeah, there's sometimes... All right, now you're going on search here. You're using Google, you're using Bing, doesn't matter. How many times do you have to Google on your search quest to get the right answer that you wanted all along? Is it 4, 6, or 8 times to really get the right search answer, according to this finding by the search people themselves? 4, 6, or 8 searches to find what you're looking for. You search for a bass player, you find Jeff. But that's not what you're looking for. Four, six, or eight.
Talk it out, y'all.
Talk it out.
What do you think, Michael? Do you...
Is it...
Surprisingly... What? Did you say something about going to the bathroom?
No.
Okay.
I'm just trying to...
Liz?
He's Googling right now.
Okay. How many times do you Google? 6 is in the middle?
4, 6, or 8.
I'd have...
It surprised me when I saw it, I'll tell you that much.
Then it's 8.
Oh, you know me, do you? You think
we'll
you know me.
Yeah, we'll go with 8.
Yeah.
8? Yes, that's right. That's
Yay!
It. You got to Google 8 times to get what you want. Holy cow, they've won everything.
Liz, keep those libations cold for the final tailgate parties of the season in an all-metal beer bucket from Cincinnati's Hootapole Shinling Brewing Company, makers of Little King's Original Cream Ale. It's good to be king.
Yeah, it's good beer.
Then pull the remaining vegetation from your raised beds without entering your hands, wearing a sturdy pair of Wells Lamont Yard and Garden Gloves from Old World Wisconsin. Clean up with a bar of all-natural lemon basil soap with the added benefits of poppy seeds for gentle exfoliation from Mississippi's Cypress Lake Soap. And get your minimum daily quota of mazurkas, ballade, polonaise, waltzes, and etudes on the CD What Do You Know About Chopin with Polish-flavored French-like liner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Michael, from the cradle of bathing to the goddess of cleanliness, you'll find it all in What Do You Know. Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Then cuddle with the talking plush version of everyone's favorite foul-mouthed animal, the honey badger, from thinkgeek.com. Get in the holiday spirit with a glass ornament hand-painted by Chris Ann Robertson from the Milwaukee Art Museum. Look ahead to the coming year with a 2014 Lake Superior calendar from the Bayfield Chamber of Commerce. And keep your guests cerebrally entertained playing What Do You Know, the party game, including questions, contestants, and the Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Nice game. Thanks for playing. Good job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Liz. Great job. Welcome back to Wisconsin. In case you were out of state, which I know you were, where that lake is.
Planning your next Madison outing? Bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast. Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing information and get your tickets today. Join us next week for another live broadcast of What Do You Know from the beautiful Monona Terrace, featuring a live performance. Tickets available at the door or online at notmuch.com.
You're now gesturing with your foot as well.
I am.
Advanced. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for listening. Talk again next week. What about those boys in the band? Oh, sit down. Sit down. Come on. Oh, no, really, I don't deserve it. All right, I'll get up too then.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshuck, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Lane with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colbert.
PRI. Public Radio International.